thoughts, Lord. Come in our minds and our hearts by the Spirit. Someone in here, you've been frustrated because you feel like there's something you want to do, but you've been trying to do it in the earthly way. You're trying to make it happen or get people to see it. But God has something way higher, way bigger, way more wonderful, and way more anointed. And so that's why there's been a cap on it. Do you know that when we try to do our thing, sometimes He'll actually stop us, even though we think we're in faith? Sometimes He'll actually be the one holding us back because His dreams for us haven't been broken into yet. Imagine a room in heaven with your name on it. Did you know that there's such a thing? I really want to share something, but I don't think I can do it and play at the same time. So I'm gonna silence the keyboard for a moment. Just go with the flow, you know. We're just here to do whatever He wants, you know. I'm going to share something I don't know if I've ever shared it publicly. But, you know, for many years, God talked to me and showed me that we're supposed to be seated in heavenly places. In fact, the Bible says we are. We are. And that means our spirit, man, your born-again spirit and mine, has access in the realms of heaven to mandate things in the earth. Okay? Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. That's the authority that he bought for us when we had sold it out. And He bought that for us. But the problem we have is we haven't understood usually how to take our position and take our dominion. And so many years ago, He started to teach me that it was very important to Him that His people take that seat and begin to mandate in love and in kindness and in goodness, right? I've met people who are in faith, but they're just obnoxious, and we don't want to be those people, do we? No, we want to be people who exhibit God the best we can, but we also want to be a people who take dominion and who determine. The church is who is supposed to determine what goes on in the earth. The church is. We are. And we're looking for God to do some things that He is hoping we will do because He gave the planet to us. Right? Psalm 115, verse 16. So He gave the church, He gave His people only, not the others, but those who are truly born again, those who are in covenant with Him have a dominion and can cause things to come to pass much more than they know. And so Satan's big job is to get you not to really believe it. But it is true. So for some years, I learned about that and began to practice it and began to see the miracle-working power of that. It was remarkable, really. And I won't say I did it very well or perfectly, but I will say I learned. And one day I had an experience. I truly don't remember if I've ever shared this, but I found myself in a room, and the only people in the room were myself, and there was a very large angel standing behind me. I was kneeling on the floor, and this was a room in heaven. And in the floor, there was a big hole, and I was kneeling in front of the hole. And the angel would hand me something, and I'd push it through the hole to someone on earth. And it represented words of knowledge or healing, right? So just one example of that. And I had been doing it, by the way, I'd been doing it for years. I just didn't really see this picture before. But one example was, I was preaching at this place, and there was a young girl there, probably 17 or 18. And I saw that she was called to be an evangelist. This isn't my normal gifting, but I looked at her and knew that girl is an evangelist and she is called to win a lot of souls. And so I called her forward and I said, I believe that God has said that you're supposed to be an evangelist. And She's like, yes, I want to be so bad. And I imparted something to her. Now, what's weird is I am not an evangelist. I don't have that to give you. I don't have it. Edgar had it in spades, but that's not my gifting. And yet, I was able to release something from the Father, something from heaven, to this person. Now, it's a word of knowledge, but it's more than just a word. It's an impartation, right? So that's an example of something you might push from heaven into earth. Now, in this room, it was a very unusual room. One wall was all books, and one wall was completely gone, and they could see a beautiful meadow. One wall had had some other things. It had a small table, but it also had this looking glass, like an old-fashioned. It reminded me of Alice in Wonderland. And at one point, I went through that looking glass, and I saw that this is kind of an odd analogy, but Alice in Wonderland, it's a really weird story, by the way. But when she went through the looking glass into this other world, everything was upside down and backwards. The rules were completely different. She didn't know up from down because it was a different realm. Well, like that, when I went through this looking glass, it was as though I saw that the realms of heaven are so vastly different than anything we know, and yet that's where our citizenship is. And most of us in the church have been absolute babies about even understanding that realm. Okay, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just saying this is how it works. And so God said a strange thing to me. He said that Holly, that room, that's your area. And just as you sat in a chair and operated in dominion, now I want you to operate in this area. And so I never told anybody because I didn't want anybody to think it was like tooting a horn or that I thought I was anyone special. I don't. I don't think that way. I do know that God has stuff for all of us. But over time, I began to believe, I think that all of us have levels of promotion. And when you begin to operate in the dominion that God has called you to operate in, there are increasing levels of that. So you go from your chair to your area to your city. Okay? I know this is out there, but I'm just asking you to go with me. Heaven doesn't look anything like earth. Heaven overrides earth, but it's humans that operate in heaven that will override the earth because we have the authority in this realm. God yielded dominion to you and me. I hope this is making sense. And I am going to be doing a seminar, I don't know when, on kingdom rulership, where I'll go into a lot more detail and take you through the scriptures to prove it. Because some of you are going, oh, really? Or, you know, prove it. I can prove it by the scriptures. But God's entire purpose was to take back the earth, give it to people who would serve him, but those people must serve him as God, as the one and only God. So God wants to lead his people into great victory. But I want to be honest, God has been talking to me in some very tough language the past 2 days. It has very, very much concerned me. I have never heard him talk like he's been talking the last 2 days, meaning it has been... I've never heard him, if God could vent, it sounds like a vent. Like if he could just vent his feelings about what's going on. And I guess it wasn't anything that surprised me, but his using that kind of tone surprised me. Because for years, the church has been sliding. And again, please understand, I love the church. Many of my good friends are pastors who are good ones. And there are some really good churches out there. But at large, there's a lot of church stuff that's going on that has lost complete sight of the Word of God and the reality of the truths in that Word. And there are hundreds of churches that are now making up their own reality. Okay? They're making up their own so-called Word of God. They're making up what they think the rules are and living by it and teaching it as though it's God. But it isn't. It's heresy. And it's apostate. And so I've seen it for some years, and I never liked it when people would bring it up. I'd heard preachers talk about it. Edgar used to talk about it. But I never liked it because I thought it was unkind, and I thought, you know, we're supposed to love the church. I didn't want to, like, bring up our dirt. But I am at the point where I'm very alarmed at what I'm seeing in the so-called church. And I want to share just a few things, what the Lord has been saying to me. I was actually, this came because I was praying for someone very dear, someone that's a Christian, loves the Lord, goes to church, is in the Word. I know for a fact they're in the Word. And I was praying for them because they have some trouble. And the Lord showed me this person sitting on a fence. And I knew he was saying, they need to get off the fence. And I was mystified. I mean, I understand, you know, I get it. We can't be on the fence too much. But I was mystified as to what he was really saying. And he began to talk in tones I've never heard him talk in. And he was talking about a segment of the church that is Christian. They're not the wannabes. They're not the people who pretend to be religious because for whatever reason they like the idea of that, right? This isn't those guys. This is people who are Jesus followers. But he said, there are some people, and he showed me. He said, there are some people that have not made me the center of their life or their world. I'm their Cupid doll. I'm their gimme, I need this. I'm having a terrible echo here. Would it help if I got away from that?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's like, is it just me? There's like, oh. Anyway, I felt like he was saying that there are people who have him on the shelf when they want him to bless something. And some of them are even people who are using the Word of God as faith, and they want him to come and bless their doings. But he is not Lord. And the way he put it is, I'm not the center of their world. Self is the center of their world. Now, I knew this was a thing, and I will be, those of you who know my testimony, you know I was like that for when I was young, very young. I didn't make Jesus Lord when I got born again right away. I was too stupid, and I didn't understand his greatness. And it took me some time of living through very hard things and learning who he really was, and that he can be trusted in life and death. He can be trusted with everything. And I remember at the age of 26 knowing, and it wasn't just a good idea, it wasn't just head knowledge, I knew this down to my bones, that God needed to run my life, and if I let him run everything, and I mean everything, he could turn it into victory. And if I ran it, it would not go well, because I had proven it. And I came back to God, knowing he has to be the decision maker. He has to be the Lord. He has to be the husband. He has to be the leader. Because if you leave this to me, I know me. I could make what seemed like a good decision, but that never went well. Did you ever make a really good decision based on logic and all reasoning and it came out horrible? And that was because it wasn't God's will. That's what it is. If you don't submit something to God and you go on your way and push into it, things will not go well. Fact. And so thankfully I learned that by 26. And so I learned that total lordship for me is the only way to do life. I know my weakness. And I know that I don't have the ability to do life. I literally don't think I could live one day without the Lord. And I don't want to. And I know sometimes people think, oh, you're strong, you know, because you've been doing this a long time and you have a lot of victory. I have a lot of victory and have been doing it a long time. But my victory is that I know for a fact, I have a revelation that I have no ability to do any of this in my own strength. And even if I thought I had a little bit, I would still bury that and subject it to God and let him do it through me. Because if he will do it through me, it won't be okay, it won't be good, it will be great. Because it's him and not me. That's the grace of God. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, nevertheless, not I, but Christ who lives in me. It's Jesus in me doing it. He learned how to flip the switch and let Jesus do the preaching, Jesus do the writing. See, the Holy Spirit gave him utterance to write those letters. Paul didn't think that up. That was birthed in the Spirit. His whole life, everything he did. And I won't say he never missed it or that he never forgot and got in the flesh. And I won't say I didn't either, for sure. But the lifestyle is, if we will start to make him truly God, we will find victory in all these things that we fight about. All these things that we're fighting to make it happen a certain way. Oh, if I just get that to happen, then I'll be happy. If I can make this happen, then it'll all work out. No, just die to the whole dumb thing and let him tell you how to live every day. So I want to go back to what God spoke to me. He said, and I hesitate to even repeat it because it scared me. He said, I'm going to sweep the floor. I'm sweeping the floor. And he said, I want to make this clear, Holly. I'm not talking about the lost. And I'm not talking about the remnant who have made me holy God. They've made me truly Lord. And I'm the center of their world. I'm not talking about them. He said, and I'm not talking about those who've done that and they make mistakes. My grace is very great. My forgiveness is very great. But what I have an issue with, and I'm totally paraphrasing, but the mistake, the message was clear. Those who name the name and do what's convenient, you know, go to church, even read the Bible, even listen to messages, but have certain areas that are still on the throne that they won't yield him, or they have their own life and they're just asking him to come and bless it. And remember, the reason I saw this is I have someone I love very much and their whole life is an absolute wreckage. Every part of their life. It's so bad. And it's hard to understand because they're such a wonderful person and I know the promises of God and I'm praying into it. And he's basically saying, you know, the issue isn't faith here. The issue is repentance here. The issue is I'm not the center. I'm not the Lord. And the day has come where I'm sweeping the floor that I'm not. And I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, I don't want to tell you this. But I think we're facing some very interesting times. I guess we've known that for a while, but now the sense of it is like it's in our face. I don't think there's anybody that really knows what's coming. I pray that it doesn't come. I hope that God stays, you know, the junk from the enemy. But we, in a lot of ways, we've opened the door to the enemy in big ways in this country. We've opened the doors to principalities. There's stuff going on in the world that if there isn't something radical that happens, there could be a world war, I'm sorry to say. I'm not saying there will be, but I'm saying there could be. You know, sometimes I like not watching the news because it's not that much fun. And what I'm saying is, in things that come, this is what the Lord told me. He said, those that are mine, wholly mine, those that have made me the center, he said, I will cause them to ride upon the high hills. I will cause them to walk in victory. I will cause them to have everything they need. I will have protection for them. I will meet their needs. I will bless them. I will go before them. I will handle it. But those who have put themselves first, they can turn to their God when they're in trouble because their God is self. And he said they will have a choice, but things are going to get very hard for them. And some people will fall away because some people will be mad at God because they were looking at the blessings in the Bible saying this doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work because you have to follow the system and the system is he's the Lord and you're not. So people disrespect the blessing, the message of faith, right? And they say, you know, that's a bad message. No, it's a good message, but it wasn't intended to be used by half-hearted Christians who live in a gray area with one foot in. Okay? The way this stuff works is for those who've made Jesus King of kings and Lord of lords. And sometimes dying to self means, you know, if he tells me to go to quit everything and go to the hottest part of Africa by myself with nothing, then I need to do that. And I need to do it with joy. Having him as Lord doesn't mean he's going to make you do that stuff, but he needs to know that you're really his. And here's the thing. When you really dedicate yourself to making him God, do we even understand what God is? You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes Muslims are more devoted to their God than Christians are devoted to their God. I worked with a Muslim guy. His name was Mohammed. He was a nice guy. And when layoffs came, man, you talk about seeing people react. I mean, we saw all kinds of mental breakdowns. We saw one guy just flipped out, got violent. We saw all kinds of reactions in people, and you got to see who people were when they lost their job. You know what Muhammad said? He said, God is the source. I thought, you know what, Muhammad? You got the wrong guy, but you got the right idea. God is the source. That company is not your source. He understood that concept. I think sometimes they understand dedication. They're wrong, as wrong can be. But their dedication is greater than ours. Worship, not even just Muslims, but worship. Do we even understand what worship is? Do we even understand what it is to know a holy and majestic God that is to be worshipped just because he is the king and he's worthy of it? And not so we can get something and not so we can receive. Now, I love worship, and I admit I receive tons when I worship. I mean, I have a blast, and, you know, it's like sometimes God just flows, and I just love it so much. That's not why I worship. I worship because he's worthy, and he's a holy and majestic God. And I'm going to tell you something. If the veil were pulled aside and we saw him as he is, we would hit the deck, man. I remember being in a meeting in Ohio with Edgar. And Edgar was supposed to preach. And you know, Edgar, he was champing at the bit to get up there because he had the anointing on him. And there was a guy up there droning on, and Edgar's starting to lose, you know, he's starting to lose patience. And I can see him kind of starting to, like, you know, he's ready to go. And I'm like patting his leg, trying to calm down, calm down, calm down. So I'm like, oh, Lord, don't let him combust, you know. And this guy who was up in the front began to do and say some things that were disrespectful to God and disrespectful to Edgar. And God, see, it's the only time I've ever honestly felt the terror of the Lord. The Spirit of God came in the room, but he didn't manifest in that sweet, wonderful, peaceful, glorious way we just love so much. It was terrifying. I wanted to hide under the carpet. I wanted to shake in terror. God was ticked. And his nature is so good and so kind. And thank God we're in covenant. Thank God we're in covenant. But what I'm trying to say is, we really don't know that much about God. You know, Kenneth Hagin lived into his 80s, and he said, the older I get, the more I realize how very little we know about God. You know what? That's true. There are so many mysteries about him. But his majesty is so great. I don't think we can afford to take him so lightly or call him God and not let him be God. Call him Lord. You know what he said about it. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? Am I really Lord? That's what he's saying. Am I really Lord? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you won't do the things I say? Scary, huh? And so Jesus is asking us to consider carefully making him Lord of every area, Lord of our heart, Lord of our stuff, Lord of our relationships, Lord of our kids, Lord of everything. And here's the great news. Once you really do it, and you learn the custom of making him Lord in all the little things, you learn the daily custom. You know, it's a learned thing. Oh, I was going to do this, but Lord, what do you think? Oh, I was just going to grab that date and go do that. What do you think? You know, because if I do it, it might end up overlapping something else, and I wish I would have asked him. So the only time I get in trouble is if I forget. If I forget to ask, that's dumb. And there's sometimes when I just blaze ahead and I forgot to ask you, Lord. And he's very gracious. But a learned thing is to learn the custom of asking his opinion, asking his input, trying to get from him what he would like to do, and then do it. And what you find is your way is laid before you. Victory happens because you avoid all this other nonsense that you don't have to have. All the other trials, all the other troubles, you don't have to have those. We can walk in victory, but we have to do it his way. And here's how you walk in victory, is when he's Lord and you're not. And so that's a learned thing. And the better that we get at it, here's what I found. Not only do you find more victory, you find enormous favor. God has people. This is the weirdest thing, but it happens regularly. I'll think, boy, I wish I had a blah. Don't even say it, don't pray it, never said it out loud, nothing. And blah shows up at my door. Okay, that's favor. I'm like, Lord, you're so good. I didn't even ask for that because it was like, you know, not a big deal. But you know what? That means a lot to me. The favor of the Lord is amazing. And it's not that anyone is a favorite or anyone. He's not a respecter of persons. Anyone can have favor. You see the difference? Every born-again, blood-washed believer can walk in the favor of the Lord. And here's how it goes. You put me first, I'll put you first. You put me last, I'll put you last. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, so will he also reap. Hello, and the measure you use gets measured back to you. It works with finances, it works with anointing, it works with everything. When you begin to tend to his needs, wash his feet, he starts looking for ways to bless you. Doesn't matter who you are. It's not because you're special, it's not because you're anointed. It's because you've put things in order and you've made him first. Isn't that amazing? God is looking for a people that are wholly his. And I'll tell you the honest truth, it scared me. I had to keep going back to him and saying, you know, excuse me, Lord, but this kind of flies in the face of some of my doctrine because I have so much grace in my heart because I needed so much grace, so much mercy, so much forgiveness, so much the love of God that is the near and dear to my heart, right? That's, you know, so when you start talking about you've about had it and you're going to sweep the floor, yipes, you know, that's scary to me. That's very scary. So I've had to keep going back and saying, can you talk to me? Is this like when you thoroughly purge your threshing floor? You know, you got your winnowing fan in your hand. And you know, by the way, do you know what that really is? It's a tool they used to use where they would pick up the stuff, they'd throw it in the air, and the little paper-like chaff, the little shells would fall off and the grain would remain. And so it was separated. He would separate. And I said, is this that? He said, no, that is something I will do. That is an event. That's not this. But I am sweeping my floor. And he said, things will happen in this earth, and they're going to be tough, and they're going to start to happen fast. People will have the time. They will have the opportunity to repent. But if their heart isn't right, they may not know enough to. They may say, like some people say, well, this stuff doesn't work. I don't need it. Remember, it says, that day will not come unless the man of sin is revealed, right, and the great falling away. I don't like those words. The great falling away means we'll see people. I believe this is in our lifetime. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think we will see many, many, many walk. Have you not in your life I know some of you have for sure. Seeing people who seemed like they were in God, even seemed like they were working for God, even seemed like it was their occupation. And they turned and walked away. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen fireball Christians who are so full of zeal, and after a few years when things got hard, things got tough, and they kind of went, eh, I don't need this. You know, and they went on their way. One guy came out of horrific sin. He helped us for a while. He was, you know, seemed like he loved God. And, you know, he went right back into sin. You know what the Bible says? Like a dog returns to his vomit. And a sow returns to wallowing in the mire. It's like you got out, you got all cleaned up, and you go back and you start eating that crud again. And it would really be better for that person, right, if they had not come to the light in a way. Unless they're still praying for them to repent, you know. But, and this is a little tough, isn't it? But I feel like God was warning me and asking me to tell the story. Because he wants his people to make a choice. And he did say, again, I know you've heard me say this, but the very safest place in days to come is in him. In him. Make him the center of your world. You'll be okay then. I'll be okay. He tells me all the time, I say, now, Lord, if it gets bad, I want out of here. What does it say? Pray that you'll be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. So if all y'all don't leave, I want out. I do. I want to fulfill my mission and out. Okay, I want to do everything I was put here to do and then send me home, hallelujah. Don't try to raise me from the dead.
Amen.
I want to fulfill everything. And I'm joyful and happy to be here. Love serving God. I love him. All is well. But we should be considering the things that are coming upon the earth. Another place it says, pray you'll be able to stand in the evil day. We should take those verses seriously. We need to pray. You need to pray over your life, not just today's issue. Consider your years. Consider your life. And begin to pray that you will fulfill God's mission. That your heart will never grow cold. That you'll grow hotter and harder for Jesus the older you get. That you'll fulfill everything that he wants. Begin to pray that over your life. Don't just pray that all your little today's stuff gets met, you know. Pray over the course of your life. Build a building that will last. Build something that will last an eternity. God has a destiny for you. And when I, at the beginning, I don't know if you came in late, but I saw like people whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life and their little finger, their little baby fingerprint was by that name. That's how unique and how precious you are to God. We should not neglect so great a salvation, right? Spend time and say, well, he's never told me. You know what? You need to press in and bug him until you get it. Press in until you get it. You have to be a person that won't be said no to. You know, people say one sentence in English and let it go. Well, I guess he didn't want that. Yeah, he wants it more than you do. And we pray these light, petty little prayers and hope God will come zooming in and do these great things. You know, sometimes God just wants to see if we're serious at all. I pray that God puts in you something that you will not quit until you get it. You won't quit. You won't quit praying. You won't, if you have to fast, you fast. You won't quit banging on the door of heaven. You won't quit until you have a God encounter and then you keep going after that. God wants to grip your life. He wants to grip you and you to grip him until you become one, until he can manifest himself in your life doing the things that for which you were born. You're not just some ordinary person. You're not just something that happened. You were not an accident. You were defined by God. And your destiny and purpose is defined by God, but it's not here. He has it written in the books in heaven. And no one else is going to go get them for you and go, here, here's what they are, you know, some nice little prophecy. No, no, no. Even if somebody did give you a prophecy, you go get it. Your destiny, believe me, will not just happen. I used to be kind of ignorant like that. I thought, well, he said he was going to do this, you know, so he'll do it. Years I waited. Years. No, that's not how it works. He said I was going to do it. He was telling me what to go after. Do you know how many people have received a word from the Lord of stuff they're called to do and they never do it? Was that a false word? Nope. They just didn't go get it. You go get it. And you be the kind of person that will not be said no to. You keep going and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. You know how to win any battle? You make up your mind, well, pray till I win. God, there's some battles. Listen, we'd be dead if we didn't know how to battle. I'll tell you what, we've had serious stuff happen where I thought, well, this is it. I'm sorry I didn't get my estate planning done. I mean, serious. Like, this is it. Which would be okay. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. But there are some battles you just have to say, I will pray until I get this. And there's some God has told me you have to pray. And he's actually told me, like, how many hours. Well, it's more hours than there are in a day sometimes. Sometimes it's very quick. Sometimes it's just faith. That's cool. But there are some things you have to pray. And you say, well, doesn't God want to do it? Of course he does. Your battle is not with God. Your fight is not getting God to do the thing you want him to do. That's not your battle at all. God already wants to do it. Your battle is with the prince of this world, who's been dethroned, by the way. Your fight is with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You have to take that ground. You have to do, Jesus purchased it legally, now you have to go get it. It's like if somebody hands me a ticket and says, I have a truckload of pallets of stuff for you in Oak Park, Illinois. Here's your ticket. It's yours. Yeah, it's mine. Jesus isn't going to deliver to my door. I have to go get it or arrange for somebody to get it. I have to do that. Job is mine. You understand? Jesus purchased stuff for you, but it's not his job to manifest it. You got to go get it because there's a devil who doesn't want your destiny fulfilled.
That's right.
He doesn't want you doing the stuff you were born to do. You need to beat him up.
Amen.
You need to take authority, take dominion. Don't say no. You need to push his face in and keep pushing it in. You need to learn how to control your thoughts when he says, wah, 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 it's never going to happen. Oh, shut your face. It is too going to happen. You need to rule him. Don't let him rule you. You need to rule him. And so here's the rule with winning a battle. You fight till you win. And if you get tired, you call somebody and say, pray for me to have more juice. You know, and pray, you know, I thank God for the people who pray for me. God wants to do something way more than you've seen yet, way more than I've seen yet. And I know because every time I have revelation, it's like, oh, wow, okay. I was sitting in when I lived in Elgin, I was sitting in the chair minding my own business, just praying and hanging out with God. And I saw something that he wanted to do through me that I didn't know. And it was overseas, and it was like, wow. Do you know, it takes time for that to come to pass. You just think it's going to be like, oh, God's going to do that. No. You have to walk that out. And you have to get the plan. What is the plan? How's that going to happen? What do you need me to do, Lord? How do I make a way for that? You have to rearrange your life. We just think stuff's just going to happen. No, 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 no. You rearrange your life to fit the king. You don't ask him to rearrange his to fit you.
Right.
You rearrange your life to fit the king. And when you do that, you know, you give him a vessel, he'll fill it. You understand? Remember, am I going too long? Y'all all right? Remember the lady with the vessels of oil? And the prophet had the nerve. She had this little bit left, this little teeny. You know, we're going to starve to death. Already planning on starving to death. This little bit and this little bit. He says, give it to me. What? How rude, you televangelist, greedy stinker, you know. But he understood the concept.
And he probably would have said, you know, give it to that other prophet over there, but there wasn't another prophet handy, you know? He was trying to get her to understand the concept. She did it, and then he said, go and borrow from your neighbor's vessels. And she borrowed a bunch, and the oil flowed and flowed and flowed and flowed until the last vessel, and then it stopped. What if she would have borrowed 1,000 more? It wouldn't have stopped, would it? What you make room for God to fill, he will fill. What you give him, he will fill. So if you don't feel like you have enough, make more room. Make room. Rearrange your life. Rearrange your house. Rearrange all that you have, your bank accounts. Rearrange everything for the King of Glory to come in. And you'll watch him come in because he doesn't like empty vessels. He likes to fill those vessels. So I really believe God wants to bless you. And I believe he wants to prove his word through you. Remember the scripture, prove me now herewith. Right? And this, I'm not talking about just money. He said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Right? Prove me. So prove me now herewith. Prove me. Prove me. God likes it when your life proves him. My family can't figure it out. They think I'm weird. They don't always like me. But they know there's something different. Because I'm the only one in the family that doesn't have certain diseases. The only one. I'm the only one. And they watched that for years. And they kept saying these terrible confessions. Like, hey, I break those words in the name of Jesus. My brother told me, oh, you know, when you hit 60, this will happen. I said, it will not. He's like, you weirdo. Well, it didn't. They started to, we were sitting around the 4th of July, and he asked me about a certain physical thing, and I said, no, I don't have any issue with that. He said, quietly, he said, you're the only one. I said, what do you mean? He said, all the rest of us have it. They'll have it. Well, I'm not going to have it. And even though I love you, my brother, I'm not part of your family anymore. I have a new family. I have a new father. I have his DNA. Love you, but I'm not taking yours or Aunt Lily's. I'm not taking it.
Amen. Amen.
God has, I want to say unfathomable, because by our mind they're unfathomable. In the Spirit, he wants to open you up and show you the things of heaven that are for you. And not just for you, but for you to manifest in the earth, for you to live in and walk in. You should walk a supernatural life to the degree that people can see it. Amen? Hallelujah.